Welcome to episode 94 of Our Modern Heritage, the Home and Family Culture Podcast, the show about how to deliberately design your intentional family culture. And I'm your host, Jody Chafee. Today on the show, we have Audrey Rindlisbacher of The Mission Driven Mom. Audrey is the mother of six children. She loves hiking, reading, and challenging herself. Audrey has a master's in education. While studying for her bachelor's degree in the classical liberal arts, she had the unique opportunity to mentor, write curriculum, and teach. Through her studies, she became passionate about finding the tools for discovering true principles. She was blessed with the opportunity to share these messages with audiences around the country, on radio and at rallies and conventions. The Mission Driven Mom organization and programs encapsulate all Audrey learned in her 20 years of studying and teaching the classics and the power of true principles. She has watched these truths transform her family and revolutionize many others. She is thrilled to share them with your family. Today, we're going to be talking about fear versus mission-driven living. Welcome, Audrey.
Thanks, Jenny.
I'm so excited to have you. Well, I just want everybody to know about you. You're so amazing.
Oh,
and
God.
And I went on Get That off your website. So yeah.
I was like, where's she getting this? And
It was public information. So. So I'm so excited to have you, Audrey. You and your husband were on the show before.
Yes.
To talk about marriage and those principles of a successful marriage. And that was awesome.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm just so excited about this, what you started, the Mission Driven Mom. I watched you start it and I was like, yes, Audrey's amazing. I'm so excited for this. And so I'm so excited. So where did that name Mission Driven come from?
So, you know, back when I was in my undergraduate work, and I talk about this, I grabbed a copy. This is The Mission Driven Life. I talk about this a little bit in the beginning of the book. And this, the idea of mission was this concept in my bachelor's program that people talked about a lot. I'd never heard it before. I didn't really understand what they were talking about at first. And then I saw these people making all these massive life sacrifices. Like they'd pack their family up and move across the country and like sleep under the desk during the week because they didn't have gas to travel home. I mean, just ridiculous sacrifices. And it was all for mission, 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 mission. And then I saw people, you know, topple around this idea of mission and kind of fall off that pedestal I'd put them on, or other people had put them on, or, you know, people that ran nonprofit organizations, you know, dang it, they were funneling money. And so I really wanted to understand that concept. And in the meantime, I'd been studying principles and natural law forever and teaching that and the classics and all that kind of stuff. And a few years ago, my husband and I went on this long all-day hike. And really, and maybe I shouldn't say this publicly, but a lot of what happens at the Mission Driven Mom, and there's a whole, the third law of life mission is to love truth. And the subtitle of that is to build a principle-focused home. And so that whole chapter, and in fact, this newest version of the book, I put the 12 characteristics of principles and how to go about discovering them and applying them. So anyway, we had this long, day-long conversation. I was like, look, I know that what people need is an understanding of how to go about finding more truth and a motivation to live true principles, because that transformed our lives. I've watched it transform other people's lives. People from Plato all the way forward have talked about the importance of true solid principles. And so what are we going to do? How are we going to do this? Anyway, so by the end of that day, by the end of that hike, it became clear that if I kind of had this covert operation of, you know, people do have a life mission, they do. And if I get them thinking about why am I here? What does God want me to do? Then it will become easier to help them understand how important it is for them to put their life in order to be able to do that. I'll never forget listening to this radio program years ago about this woman who had, I can't remember if I mentioned this in the book or not, but she had started this organization that helped girls not have an abortion. Like she had saved thousands of babies from abortion, and she educated them and she walked them through the process and helped them either keep the baby or adopt it out or whatever. Done amazing things. In the meantime, she never saw her family. She was so busy, she didn't even attend her children's birthday parties. Her husband was leaving her. She had completely disconnected from actually her primary mission, which was her family. So the Mission Driven Mom, we have an academy where we're attempting to teach those fundamental laws of life mission to moms so that they can build a mission-driven environment in their home. They can There's a whole bunch of cool self-discovery activities that they do for themselves and with their kids so that they can understand what their unique gifts are. And then eventually, as they put their homes in order, they get themselves in a position where they can have impact in the community and not abandon their families. You know, like they get to the point where they bring their children along on this mission work they feel called to do. They partner with God. They discover their gifts. They develop those. Anyway, so it's a really cool process. The primary motivation was, let's teach people to find and live true principles. But the bigger picture is, let's help them remember. They know, people intuitively know they have a mission. Like they feel they need purpose. You know, I could quote all these incredible individuals that talk about, it's more important to have purpose than happiness. That's what people actually want and need more. They'll go through all kinds of pain and anguish and suffering for life purpose. They just sometimes feel lost, don't know what that is, don't know how to go about finding it. And I looked and looked for books that showed some kind of clear pathway and just couldn't find any.
So you wrote it.
So I studied all these people, and the 10 booms are the family that I track. But I just said, look, this is what the great people do. The people that you love and admire. This is what one woman told me one time. She's like, well, like, what about Mother Teresa? She knows she didn't live all these laws. She didn't have a great education. I was like, actually, she spent 12 years teaching and being the principal of a private girls' school. She had a phenomenal education. Like, wow. She actually did live these four foundational laws. Everybody does. So anyway, that's kind of what the mission-driven mom is about. It's a, you know, hopefully people get their hands on the book and moms can join the academy. A lot of moms are trying to do it with their husbands, with their youth.
Yeah. It's been cool. So when you're talking about that, something that comes to my mind is like, there are a couple of things. First, I want to talk about how, when you talk about mission-driven, see, because I've been trying to live out my mission, but I also find myself being stuck in survival mode.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I even wrote out, I was going to do an episode about this, of like these levels of like survival where you're going, you know, I'm just in like crisis mode down here. And then there's survival mode. But even below that, there's actually recovery, healing. I think there are some people who are in trauma mode, like you're in trauma. Yeah. Where you're trying to heal. And then there's crisis where you're going, okay, we're not in this, we're not broken or, you know, but we still need to recover. And then there's survival. And then there's complacent. and then there's thriving. But then I think even above that is actually where mission is. Yeah. You know, because it's like, so how do you resolve those other things? Do you come against, you know, do you meet women who are going, this is great, Audrey, but I'm in survival mode?
Yep.
What do you do?
Yep. That's why level one is the first two laws, which are love of God and love of self. Mm-hmm. So the whole focus is on building a really strong relationship with God, where you feel a better capacity to hear him, to understand him, to know him, to trust him. And there's three principles of love of self. There's self-management, self-discovery, and self-care. And so I talk about those in the book, and the academy is just, I mean, I could grab a workbook and show you, but it's just a whole bunch of short readings and videos and activities that you go through to get yourself in a better place, to get your emotions managed better, to manage if there's addictions in your life or in your family's lives, to better understand those and get those. So that's, and there's four foundational laws. Those are the first two. Level one is all about that. Most women take about a year. In fact, I've had so many women say, well, I was just cruising through and I got into like, there's four cycles in level one, got into like cycle two. And I was like, hold up, I really should dig deeper. Like I should go back and like do every single thing and really implement this and really try to live this. And that's when the really great stories begin to happen, is when they start really taking good care of themselves and nurturing their relationship with their Heavenly Father. And when they are working on managing, and what we're talking about with fear versus mission driven. So one of the big themes of level one, around self-management, is being a creator rather than a victim. And we learn all about the drama cycle and how drama is generated and what that means and what that looks like. And we have some readings and some videos around that. And there's some little handouts that you get when you get your workbook that affirm, I'm a creator. And as a creator, I this. And the the topics around the self-management sections are, I'm regaining power. It's all about, I'm increasing my personal power by being a creator, by managing my thoughts, by that, this, these kinds of, you know, by not being in self-deception, by these kinds of, and so that's where there's a lot of energy spent around getting out of what you're talking about, which is fear-based thinking, because regaining trust with God and regaining trust with yourself is the foundation of everything else. When those two things are in place, then you can start to work more productively on the relationships. You know, that relationship looking up and that relationship with yourself, every other relationship is a reflection of those two.
Wow.
And so you can't really rebuild relationships. You can't really put a principle-centered home in place. You can't really reach out effectively in the community and lead the way you'd like to when you just keep going back, like you're talking about. You just keep going back into crisis mode, right?
Yeah. And so you're that's absolutely right. Like those are fear-based.
Yeah.
And you are stuck in this cycle of fear rather than working on that faith to step out of that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you were talking too, it made me think about, I'm working through this life coaching course. Mm-hmm. And one of the things you talked about is there are three levels of like perception or reactivity levels, I think.
Uh-huh.
And like the lowest... Okay. So I'll start at the top because you talked about truth, right?
Yeah.
That is like when you are principled and you're founded in truth, that is like you're on your highest level of productivity and energy and reactivity. And then below that is if you are basing on faith, but what I interpret that is if you put faith in false puts, right? If you were going, I have faith, you know, it's like, I'm sure you've read, Viktor Frankl, Search for Meaning, and people going, I have faith that we're going to be saved by Thanksgiving. There's no way they're going to keep us through Thanksgiving. And then those people lost it. Like they died, right?
Yeah.
They're going to let us out by Christmas, you know?
Yeah.
So when you're putting your faith, basing your trust in faith, in not true principles, then you're going to deteriorate.
Yep.
And then the lowest level is emotion driven, where if you're basing everything on emotion, then you are like flip-flopping constantly. If you're reactive to your emotions, then you are never going to, you know, that's a really low place to be. So I love what you're saying about, you know, basing these things on trust in yourself, trust in God, and in truth. So how do you go from being, you know, reactive emotionally and even faith driven? Cause I mean, I wanted to say faith driven that's part of this, right?
Yes. That's why the first law is to love God.
Yes.
Absolutely.
But that's
in
truth. That's your, putting your faith in truth.
Yes. Yes. You know, it's interesting, Jody, you were saying something, made me kind of think of this. I don't really thought about it this way before, but there's kind of this close connection between lies and fear.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the adversary is the father of lies, right? So God can't lie. And we have this, one of the books in level one is called Telling Yourself the Truth. And I love it so much more than affirmations. Because we don't put like a jag on our, you know, pegboard or like the skinniest girl model on the runway, you know, like it's not stuff. Because ultimately you don't really believe that stuff. Like it's not really the truth. You can't really exercise faith in something that is really not based in something that you can really believe. There's a lot of lies around it. Like,
like when people say, my affirmation is I'm a millionaire.
Yes.
I'm going to tell myself I'm a millionaire.
Yes.
And it's like, but then you don't even believe yourself.
Yeah. So Aristotle said, oh my gosh, this is one of my favorite definitions ever. He said that fear is the expectation of evil and faith is the expectation of good. And of course, every positive thinking book in the world, including scripture, is going to, you know, help you understand you're going to get what you expect.
Yeah.
And not even necessarily, those expectations are really wrapped up in really what your core beliefs really are. So you're really going to get what you actually expect to get. And so much fear is wrapped up in lies. Mm-hmm. And we don't even understand that we're feeling fearful because we're actually believing a lie. Now, that lie might be attached to some truth. And what's so crazy about it is sometimes it feels true.
Right?
It feels, yeah. You know, I feel like a failure. I must be a failure. That must be true. Right? So yeah, right. Telling myself the truth, I'm a failure. But fear is so, and that's one of the reasons why we talk about the drama cycle and record and self, you know, some of those key elements, really this idea about God's going to tell you the truth. And that's why you have to draw your worth from him.
Yeah.
And so much of your fear and your self-deprecation and your negativity is really ultimately just wrapped up in lies. And that's why it's generating emotions of fear that sometimes feel true. And then we take action around something that we think must be true. So, but actually really we're just in fear.
Yeah.
Don't recognize it. And so we're believing these lies.
Yeah.
But then when we try to go get help, it's like you're saying so often the help is like, well, just, I mean, my husband was in real estate. He's done real estate and construction most of his adult life. And he had these real estate trainers. And when they actually taught him how to sell real estate or get clients, they taught him great stuff. But they would always say, so just go buy the car you want, and then you'll have to make more money to cover the payment. Like that's how you can make your dreams come true. You'll increase your income because, well, hello, that's based on a whole bunch of false principles. Like that's not principle centered at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just going to, anyway, but this idea that just believe it, just say the thing to yourself, just jump up and down in the mirror. And
but
just,
that's what so many people do. If you read Napoleon Hill, the Outwitting the Devil, he went and bought his hotel room and didn't know that he was going to sign for his book or whatever. He just knew that if he'd done the thing on faith that it would work out. So what is that? You know, how do we justify those kinds of actions? Is that because he was listening to that inner voice that was saying, you can do this? Or, you know, where does that kind of affirmation come from to do the hard thing? Okay, because we're talking about fear versus faith. I think that when we know it's always future-based, right? We're always thinking of things that are going on in the future. That's there's this guy, Myron Gold, and he talks about this where he goes, if you believe that the outcome of something is going to be negative, then you develop anxiety. It becomes fear, becomes anxiety, becomes depression, you know, it just spirals down. If you believe that outcome is going to be positive, then you're basing it on faith and anticipation of that thing happening. And then you get excited and you work towards that thing. So, you know, what you're saying is that when we base it on, you know, we're looking at something going, no, the outcome is bad. I'm bad. This is awful. Everything is going to spiral out of control. That it's really based on lies because the outcome hasn't even happened yet, first of all. and so it's like, how can we know whether or not the outcome is going to be bad? And so what we're trying to say basically is trying to choose things that are based in faith because you want to anticipate a better outcome, or, you know, you want to go towards things, that gets you excited and anticipate a better outcome. So sometimes that requires doing things that are scary.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the difference? How do I know, like, if I do something based on fear or the anxiety of bad things going to happen?
Uh-huh.
See, this is my experience,
yeah.
Audrey,
yeah.
Because,
yeah.
You know, my husband quit his job. We were like, okay, this is scary, but we feel very strongly this is the right step. This is the right path for our family. And so but we know in our hearts that was a very faith-driven, mission-driven decision.
Yes. Yes.
Because we felt like the Lord was inspiring us. Yes. God was supporting us. We felt like it was part of living out our truth was to get away from the thing that was deteriorating our souls.
Yes.
And go towards that, even though we didn't know the outcome, but because we're choosing to have anticipation and faith about that outcome.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So what are you thinking about this? I mean, what are your reaction to what I'm saying? So like, how do you advise people to make choices based on mission and faith and trust in yourself and in God, even when it's scary?
Well, you would need to discern. We had this event in October. I've got the thing up on my board right there. It's a little 2-page handout that we gave the moms with some principles of discernment on one side and some questions on the other side. Some things in life aren't worth discerning. Some things require skills of discernment. And you're kind of talking about how do we discern that? Well, we need to get better at discernment. So you paid a price in this particular instance to have discerned well. You've not questioned whether or not it was clearly a unifying, principle-centered, God-driven, whatever the things are, that it was the right decision for your family, right? So, but then what does that mean? So does that mean you get to control the outcomes? Because I don't think that means you get to control the outcomes. In other words, I don't think that God presented you with, if you leave the job now, you'll be a millionaire next year. I don't, you know, in some instances, I've had a couple very profound spiritual experiences in my life where God and I did have that kind of conversation. Like, I'm asking you to do this, and I promise you that this will be the outcome. And I was granted faith to watch him work a miracle, you know. Yeah. Those experiences are very rare. We might have a couple in a lifetime. as you know, as concerns your experience, well, there's you clearly worked hard to discern. You've not questioned whether or not that was the right decision for your family. So then how do you live day to day? It sounds like maybe your question is more like, so how do I live with the decision that I felt like, you know, and what am I expecting God to do? Mm. You know, so then at that point, it seems like the right next step would be to outline, these are the things I can control and these are the things I can't control. And I'm going to focus on doing with excellence the things I know that are mine to do. And then you work on, you know, your gratitude and your daily, you know, focusing on, because the decision is critical.
Yeah.
But we actually live life day to day. It's important to have a faith-filled decision that you partner with God on. But then really, faith is tough day to day. Like, that's really what's hard. Because that fear wants to, you don't see the outcomes that you want yet. And that fear gets hold of you. You know, I mean, I just, with MDM, you know, I can think big, but then it means I have to act big.
Yeah.
And I've not been ready for some of the acting big that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so even just this last week, like, I have been toying with, okay, I've got a board. They're super helpful. I have tech people. I have a designer. I really need a secretary. And that's different because I can kind of control, you know, I can outsource stuff and I can kind of control the money better and the finances better because I can say, okay, well, we'll wait till this comes in. And then that, I know that cost, but to take on a full-time employee and have, you know, every 2 weeks, I'd better deliver. And I need office space. And it's just a new step. It's just a new level. And how it's going to affect my family. It's been tough.
Yeah.
And I've been putting it off for 8 months. And I'm super behind. And I continue to get further behind. And I know where the Lord wants us to go. And it just took me until this last week to realize I don't want to. And I'm afraid of the impact to my family and the impact and how can I orchestrate this? And I had long in-depth couple conversations with the Lord about it. And finally he was like, go talk to your family about it. You know? And I did. And they were like, go fight, win, you know, like we're totally, let's orchestrate it this way and let's manage it. And you get up early and then, and so it's a partnership and we're doing it together and they're watching the process and they know that it's blessing people. And I'm going to be very, very careful about, you know, I'm just going to this little 3-hour period and then I'm back and then we're doing all this stuff. You know, I'm still homeschooling and I'm just like, how can this, but then I watch him sending resources. Like it was so cool through the, especially that whole first year of MBM. Like this book was supposed to be an article. It was supposed to quickly explain 7 laws. And then Blaine was like, look, I don't have a lot to do for the next few weeks. Why don't you just take some time? I'll manage the house. So we did that. It kept getting longer. Finally, I was like, this thing is a book. I'm pulling out, telling, finding all these 10 boom stories from the books that I've read are coming to my mind. So then I get it all written. I've quoted extensively. I'm like, oh no, I can't do anything with this. I'm violating all kinds of copyright laws. What am I going to do? And then, you know, I find where the copyright rules are and I just have to send them money forever. I can quote as extensively as I want. Then they send me permission to use all the images I wanted. And then people were, you know, and the women were came and the Lord sent resources. So focusing on the positive, right? Like looking for the ways that he is blessing you. Like he sent me this and it, that's the real challenge, right? Like every day I'm going to remember, you know, one thing I do, Jody, I do voice memos. So I'll go in there when I'm in a good place and I know I'm full of faith and I'll remind myself of all the reasons why I'm doing what I'm doing and all the things that God is, so I can listen to it. And so it's just this, I don't know. I don't have all the answers.
Well, what I'm hearing you say, Audrey, is that it's about being in the process. That it's like, you know, there's a really good talk by Dieter F. Uchtdorf that he gave last in 2018 in January, I think it was. And, you know, he talked about how sometimes the decision is important, but sometimes it's more important what we do with the decisions we make.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you have this, you know, that discernment is really important and the decision that we make is important. But then what we do with that decision afterwards is really, you know, we make the decision and then going forward, you go, okay, if I hire a secretary, I've got to deliver every 2 weeks to pay this lady. And so it's like that, if you make that decision, then every day, like you said, we have to live day to day. And so it's like, okay, well, the day to day part is taking accountability for that decision that we made and continuing to go forward.
Yes.
Fulfilling that decision and going, okay, we made this decision. And even if today is a struggle, even if we end up, you know, cause when Michael quit his job, it was like, what if we have to end up losing our house? And it was like, well, then we factor that in as part of the process. It was like, if that's what the Lord wants us to do and we have to sell our house and move in with my parents, then that's us taking responsibility for the decision that we made based on faith, that's the direction we have to keep going in. And so that's what I hear you saying is that it's like you make the decision and then there's a process of like fulfilling on that decision and taking responsibility for it and not go keep, you don't keep going back and second guessing.
Yes.
You make the right decision.
Yes.
You know, and then you have your one foot out. Like that was a realization that we'd come to, was that for 10 years, Michael hated his job, but it was like, okay, but if we quit then, and so we weren't actually fully committed to the decision that we'd made of going to school and getting jobs and all this stuff. And so we were only half existing, it felt like, you know?
Yeah.
And so making the decision to go, no, we're done with that. We're going to commit to whatever decision it is that we feel like is the right thing to do. And we're going to do it 100%. If the Lord tells us you got to stay with this toxic job, then he's going to get better at it.
Yes.
So it's really,
it's just, you know,
where it comes back to.
I'm not anybody special. It's a battle.
Yeah.
It's the battle, right? Like the Lord told me to do this. We're going to do it. We're going to get up today and we're going to do it. And he's going to be with me. Because he loves me and he inspired me to do this and he's going to be there and he's going to deliver and it's going to work out. You know, we had this event in October and I felt from the very beginning, I wanted to put it off a year. I felt like I couldn't. And I could see the room and there needed to be 100 women there. And we got to September and we had 50. And Blaine was like, 50's great. It's your first year. What do you expect? You know, sell for 50. And I had a choice in that moment. Like, am I going to settle for 50 or am I going to figure out, am I going to claim the blessing? Am I going to ask God to, am I willing to do whatever I got to do to get 100? Like, right. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what it's going to cost. And I need more inspiration. Clearly I don't know how to get to 100 because I'm not there and we're a month out. And so I just buckled down and just decided, okay, it's 100. I see the room. I see the women in the, I just know. And what do I got to do? So I just went and had another long prayer brainstorming session and ideas came. And that was God's part, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to claim it or not. You're going to come in the room and ask me what you can do. Then you got to go do it.
Yeah.
So it was a lot more work. You know, we had to get into Facebook groups and we had to do an offer and I had to send out a lot more emails and I had to send emails to specific groups around specific things. And we got 100. Like, wow. I think we got exactly 100.
That's awesome.
So
I love that too, because you know, I feel like this concept of being mission driven, it's not necessarily, and I just talked about this in my live with Michael, that it was like, there's mission driven as like, this is your calling. It's not necessarily a passion, because I think sometimes passion can fizzle or passion can be, or some people go, I don't have a passion, you know, but it's actually like, it's more like it's a calling.
Yeah.
And you can see like the things that you feel called to do.
Yeah.
It's provided like step by step.
Yes.
It's not necessarily all at once, or you may get one all at once. You know, I had this experience where I was like, oh, this podcast is so hard. I don't know if I can keep doing it. And I heard an audible voice. My husband or my children were watching this YouTube video of like, visit 7 continents. And I was like, I would love to visit 7 continents. That'd be so cool. And then this voice said, so ask. And I was like, are you serious? I can't ask for something like that. I was like, yeah, actually you can. You can. I was like, okay. Hey, Heavenly Father, can we go visit the 7 continents as a family? He's like, yeah, but you got to do your podcast. And it was like, oh, great. But that's something that I'm like, okay, I don't know how doing a podcast is going to get us to travel the world. But I have to accept that, like, okay, this is a calling. This is something that step by step by step, this process of learning, you know, we often talk about is comparing it to building our ship, you know, this story of the Mormon about Nephi building a ship. And it's like, he didn't get all the information, but he knew he had to build a ship. And then he got the information from time to time, how to build this thing. And there were naysayers and there were people telling, you know, that you can't do so great a work, but he knew he could, he was called to do it.
You know, that it's interesting, Jody, because you bring up an important element about, you know, if we're going to talk about mission-driven versus, you know, fear-driven. The world talks a lot about what they call purpose or having a career you love and I specifically use the word mission, because when you look up mission in the dictionary, a mission has to be given to you by someone else. Hmm. You might find your own purpose, or you might decide, you might be the one that says, this is what it is. And there's a lot of confusion. Even, you know, very spiritual people wanting to be God-based and all of that, there's a lot of confusion because the world is shouting about, you're going to love it all the time. You're going to sit on the beach and never work again. Like, they present all these images about what that looks like. And actually, it doesn't. Like, joy has a cost.
Right.
And the cost is grind sometimes. Sometimes it's boredom. Sometimes it's facing fears, whatever.
Sometimes it's facing setbacks even, you know, that's not always going to be smooth sailing. It's like, this is part of the journey.
Yes.
The setbacks too.
Yes. And so if it's like you're saying, that word calling, you know, it's something that's, it's an opportunity being presented to you. You know, I hate getting up early. Like, it's been so hard my whole life. And for years, God has told me, you need to get up early. You need to get up early. I mean, I'd see it everywhere. I'd fight and I'd try and I'd do it for a while and then I'd stop. And finally, a year or two ago, I don't even remember what happened, but I was reading something or doing something. And all of a sudden, kind of, I don't know, not like a voice, but just like this thought came. It was like, you know what? Actually, getting up early is an opportunity. God's just giving you, he's just extending an opportunity. He's just mm-hmm. saying, there are certain blessings you're not claiming because you won't get up. There's certain stuff I'd like to give you if you get up. And you just don't get that stuff yet because you don't want to. And that's fine. Just letting you know.
Yeah.
You're the one missing out.
This is your choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it reframed the whole thing for me. And I was like,
it takes a lot of faith to get up early though, Audrey, to know that those blessings are waiting for you.
Yes. I know. I know. And so that's the kind of thing I think those are the kinds of images that are evoked in my mind when you talk about trying to be mission driven. The logo, I guess, that we have for it is a circle because it's cyclical, and sitting in the center of that circle is those four: you love God, you love yourself, you love truth, you build a principle-centered home, and you love humanity. And you might do that on a micro level, and then God calls you to something. And so you try that out, and every time it requires you to stretch and grow. It teaches you things about yourself. And every time the objective, God's objective, I think, is return to your foundation. And then you find that you find yourself in a new place in those four foundational lives. You find yourself in a new place when it comes to your relationships in your home, or your relationship with yourself, or your relationship with God. And you see new things. And, you know, loving humanity is just all about the becoming more and more aware. What are the real problems in the world? And how can I insert myself to find principle-centered solutions to those problems? And the more of you there is, the more connected to God you are, the more times you go through this process. That's why it's kind of like, well, if you look at someone's life, like on the macro level, where you could say, oh, well, George Washington's call was to lead us in the war. His call was to be the president. But actually, way back when, he felt like he should be a surveyor. And that taught him a whole bunch of stuff about himself. And he gained a whole bunch of skills, and he had a greater dependence on God because he was out there on his own, and he had lots of more time to study it. You know, so there's the foundational laws again. And so it's just this lifelong cyclical process. And if you'll use those trials to strengthen your foundation, if you'll keep returning and trusting God and caring for yourself, then the calls will just get bigger.
Wow.
You'll reach more people, right? And you'll solve bigger problems, maybe bigger problems at your house, and eventually bigger problems in your neighborhood, and bigger problems. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
As you become aware of, and that's why one of the things I was going to say when you're talking about affirmations and stuff, most of us, I did a podcast a while ago. I can't even remember what it's called. It was based on this article that I read around how he was talking about exercise and how we're all trying to be experts at exercise, but actually we should try to be amateurs. Because if we think of ourselves as amateurs, then we'll just do something. We don't try to be great at it. You know, we don't try to go to the gym and work all the heavy equipment and all that kind of stuff. We just go for a walk because, hey, we're just new at this exercise
thing. I told my son recently, he was trying to work on his handwriting and he didn't want to do the practices, and he doesn't like to do things bad. And I said, you have to be bad before you can get good.
Yeah. So when we're setting these little, you know, when we're living these decisions that we've discerned day to day, we don't, you know, if you've got 100 pounds to lose, please don't put the runway model up. You know, please believe something that's believable for you. Be an amateur at this, you know, weight loss thing. Just do one tiny thing you know you can do. Get more sleep and drink some water. Take small steps. That's how most of us are wired. We need to build our faith incrementally. We need to do the small things first. We need to show ourselves we can get up half an hour early, and then maybe eventually we'll get up 3 hours earlier. You know, we need to, maybe it's 5 minute increments. You know, now I'm up at 6:55, 6:50, 6:40, you know, whatever those things are, that's how that whole mission, but it's faith based, right? So it's an expectation.
Truth.
Good. It's self-affirming. I mean, that's a huge, if your decisions are based from a self-deprecating perspective rather than a self-affirming perspective, that's one of the first tools for you're fear-based. You're listening to lies. You're in the wrong camp.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Audrey, this has been so awesome. And I think we could go on, because I was going to say, I wanted to talk about, you know, this is a podcast about family culture, right? And, you know, you chose to help moms, and I love that, because I think it's really important that, you know, moms, definitely we need to get our own self-love and a love of God in place before we can model that for our children.
Yeah.
And And so I love that so much. And something that I've been really excited about with this whole idea is that we need to model for our families this idea of being mission-driven, being trust-driven. Yeah. You know, because I think that a lot of times, you know, I study like conscious parenting a little bit, and it's like, mm-hmm. oh, you know, we sometimes, we get triggered, right, by things yeah. that our kids do, or our family yeah. does, and or situations in our lives. And we revert back to this like reactive state of being.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. so when I think about this being modeled in our homes, I think of, you know, we need to model how to be trust-driven, how to be faith-driven, mission-driven by first pausing and learn and trusting first
yeah.
rather than being reactive to whatever is going on in our families. Yeah. And so that's what, you know, I'm excited about this topic for that reason, that I just think that on a micro level, we need to be like in this place with our families where we're going, I'm just not going to react, and I'm going to stop and look at what is true.
Yes, totally. Yes. So
I talk about it as the fuel for our family culture.
Oh, that vehicle yes.
that we're fueling.
Well,
it's
think about
gotta have trust.
Gotta be that's patient. So true, Jody. And even just as you're saying that, trusting yourself, trusting your own ability to receive revelation and listen to your conscience. And man, that's foundational. You've got moms who feel like they can't, you know, there were these moms in my neighborhood at one point that got some parenting book that told them if your kids behave badly, just ignore them. And it felt, you know, it wasn't, you know, they did it and it was so destructive. And
yeah,
because why? Because they didn't actually trust themselves to know how to respond.
To say,
this isn't working. This isn't them. Right. This feels wrong. And to trust themselves, put their own intuitive knowledge and truth against an expert, right? Like that's so important. And
yeah.
we need moms who trust themselves and
yeah. wow.
trust God. And then they can build trust-filled home.
Wow. Wow.
So true.
So awesome. Okay. Oh, this is great. So anyway, Audrey, where can we find you and learn more about Mission Driven Mom and just dive into more of your content? So awesome.
You can go to themissiondrivenmom.com, opt in for a free copy of The Mission Driven Life. I'm going to soon update that with the newest version in an audiobook, so everybody can get that anytime. And I've got the podcast. Go into any podcast app, search The Mission Driven Mom. You can listen to it. We've got about 50 up, I think, at this point on all different topics. Lots of them around principles and how to do that and how to find mission, lots of that kind of stuff. And then we've got a Facebook group, The Mission Driven Mom Mastermind, where we do put up quotes, share information, share resources, discuss the podcast, all that kind of stuff. And so those are some free resources that people can engage in immediately and then go from there. Of course, there's the Academy if they really want to dig deep. So.
Yeah. Awesome. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much, Audrey.
Thanks,
it was
Jody.
Such a pleasure to have you again. And thank you so much for being
great
on
conversation.
The show.
Yep. You too. Thanks.
So those of you listening, be sure to, you know, like, rate, subscribe and share, and we'll see you on the podcast.